the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Simon Richards, and I'm one of the leaders here at the church. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us this morning for what has become affectionately known in our household as TV Church. Now, this morning, we're going to be beginning a new teaching series. We're going to be doing that in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Now, it's our custom Sunday by Sunday to teach through books of the Bible. And more recently, we've been in the Old Testament and we've been reading a book called Isaiah. But now we're in the New and we're reading the book of Acts. It's an appropriate time to be doing that because the book of Acts follows hot on the heels of Jesus' resurrection, something that we celebrated last Sunday on Easter Day. Now, if you like, the book of Acts is a sequel. It's effectively what Jesus did next. And if you've never heard of it before, I thought I could record my sermon this morning in a helpful location. This is a world map. This is Henry's first map of the world. And the book of Acts is all about the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus going to all the earth. And it starts from here, from Jerusalem, and makes its way right to the ends of the earth. That's the big idea of the book. The phrase that you would find in Acts that describes that is the good news going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Now, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take a look at that chapter that Adrian just read for us, Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 to 10. So if you could keep that open in front of you, whether you're on paper copy or on your device, that would be really, really helpful. We're going to be referring to it throughout. So what we're just going to do is make some observations and then try to apply this Bible passage into our lives. And as we begin this series this morning, it's worth explaining that we've given it a title, and the title is Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Stories. And we certainly have read a phenomenal, extraordinary story this morning, that miraculous healing of the lame beggar. Now, if you have Acts in front of you here, the book's title is, to give it its full title, is The Acts of the Apostles. Now, I have a feeling that the lead apostle, Peter, who we meet in chapter 3, and verse 1 would have actually been quite unhappy with the title that we've given to the book, The Acts of the Apostles, because he actually goes out of his way to explain that it wasn't really him who performed this miracle. He deliberately goes out of his way to explain that it wasn't him, it was Jesus. The focus should be upon Jesus. If you have a look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, he says this. This is just after that amazing miracle. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we've made this man walk? I'll have a little look further down to verse 16. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. So rather than the focus being on the apostles, the focus is actually and should be rightly on Jesus. So perhaps a better name for this book, for the book of Acts, although we're probably a little bit late to the game in terms of renaming Bible books, but perhaps a better name would be something like this: The Acts of the Risen Lord Jesus. Now, as we dive in this morning and take a look at this miraculous healing, I wanted to ask you a question, and it's this. What were you doing at 8 p.m. last Thursday evening? I'm sure many of you will have joined together with neighbours and your street clapping and cheering for the National Health Service. Perhaps you even, like my mum, hi mum, took to the streets with pots and pans to make noise and show your appreciation for all those working on the front line. Someone on our road, in fact, took the opportunity to set off a few fireworks in the middle of the road. Now, in the Richards household, it's given me the much needed opportunity to actually get round to using my Swiss souvenir cowbell, which you can see here. I bought this on a work trip to Switzerland. Claire thinks it was a bit of a silly purchase, but I thoroughly disagree. Now, amongst those who've been clapping this week, I assume there must have been folks who were clapping who've now recovered, who've been made well, who've been healed from the coronavirus, our own Prime Minister among them this week. And I can only assume that if you're someone who's recovered, who's been made well, who's been healed off the back of the coronavirus, that your clap and your appreciation is all the more heartfelt, all the more deep. Now, this morning, we are taking a look at a miraculous healing. There's absolutely no doubt about that. This was an astounding public miracle that provoked wonder and amazement. That was the reaction of all who saw it. Verse 10. Now, as we take a look at this miraculous healing, it might be worth us saying, especially because we're out Thursday by Thursday clapping and appreciating our National Health Service and those who are part of it, it might just be worth saying that all life comes from God, and therefore all healing comes from God. He's the author of life, as Peter is going to say in the message that accompanies this amazing miracle. He says that in verse 15 of our chapter. Our God's the living God. In him we live, move, and have our being. All healing comes from God. Now, we know it to be sadly and painfully true that not all are healed. Life, after all, has its loose ends, its unanswered questions. Some things just remain unexplained. But God ordinarily brings healing to people providentially through means. And by that, we mean medication, treatment, and the amazing medical staff and their expertise. God ordinarily, providentially, uses those regular things to bring about healing in this world. And that too is from God. But here we get a glimpse of the truly miraculous, the above and beyond. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." And so he is pleased and free to work not just through ordinary means, but above and beyond those ordinary things. And that's what we get a little bit of a glimpse of here. Hot on the heels of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we get astounding miracles done in his name. So we're just going to make a couple of observations and see what we can find. First, let's take a look at the top and tail of our story, just to get a glimpse and to try and understand the narrative a little bit better. Now, take a look at verse 1. This is two people who were on their way to pray. This is a story that starts with prayer. Take a look at the end of our passage, verse 9. All the people saw him, that's the healed beggar, walking and praising God. This is a passage that ends in praise. It begins in prayer and it ends in praise. This is also a story that changes location. Did you spot that? Take a look at verse 1. Peter and John are heading up to the temple, and verse 2, the lame beggar is laid outside the temple. This is a story that begins on the edge of things, on the outside. And by the very end, we've changed location. Take a look at verse 8. The lame beggar, who's now leapt up and is walking and praising God, enters the temple courts. It's been a change in location. This man has entered God's house for the very first time in his life. It starts on the outside of things. It ends in the center. It starts on the fringe. It ends in the core. It starts outside of God's presence. It ends in God's presence, praising Him. Well, that's this story. And now we want to just get to grips with what's at the very center of it. And I want to make just two points this morning. And they're these. That ordinary lives need Jesus. And extraordinary stories start with prayer. So first, let's take a look at ordinary lives needing Jesus. Luke very, very helpfully shows us what's the center of this passage this morning. I wonder whether you spotted it. He, in fact, uses all of the language of what I'm trying to do now, eye contact and engagement and focus and attention. And he uses that language to draw our attention as onlookers to what the centerpiece of this passage is. So take a look there at verse 4. The lame beggar sees Peter and John. Peter and John look straight at him. Presumably, the lame beggar's gaze has now wandered. And so Peter says again, "Look at us." And then we read verse 5. The man gave them his attention. And so Luke's just getting us to focus in on the centerpiece, on these next few words. They're going to be the focus. All the attention's on this intense conversation between Peter and the lame beggar, and our attention needs to be there too. He says this, verses 6 and 7. Peter, looking at the lame beggar, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the hand, he lifted him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Wow, that is absolutely stunning, absolutely amazing. Luke here is drawing us to the fact that our attention needs to be on these central few verses. And this is an ordinary life that's suddenly been changed, an ordinary life that needed Jesus. Now, let's take a look at this lame beggar. We may not know too much about him. We don't know his name, but we do actually have a good deal of other information. We, in fact, know he's in his 40s. Acts chapter 4 and verse 22 gives us an indicator of that. We know he's been lame from birth, verse 2. We know he's carried every day to the temple gate, verse 2, called Beautiful, where he begs and he's hoping to receive some money from those going into the temple courts. Now, this man would have been a very familiar face to all those who are entering the temple. And as I was thinking through it this week, I thought, well, if he's 40 and he's laid there every day, chances are he's seen and heard of the drama that's unfolded in Jerusalem over these last few weeks and months. He'd have heard, perhaps he even saw, the crucifixion of Jesus. Then he'd have heard at least the rumours of his supposed resurrection from the dead. And then suddenly he'd have witnessed and have heard about the prominence of his new followers, who've gone from scared and shut away to now bold and proclaiming and performing signs and wonders. Yet for all its fascinations, for all the things that have happened around this guy, he seems to have remained remarkably untouched, remarkably unchanged by it all. His expectations were low. He was used to being disappointed. The best he could hope for was pity from others. Perhaps even the best he could hope for was slightly more change. I just wonder if there's anyone out there for whom the circumstances surrounding the lame beggar just really accurately describes your current situation. Are you largely unchanged by all this, by the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Perhaps you've tuned in this morning hoping to get something to just get you through the day. Well, this man, he was looking for something just to get through the day, but what he was given was much, much more. Into this dull, diminished hope, Peter and John engage this guy. And it seems he may well have just simply been assuming a no, but Peter, with his fixed gaze, gives him so much more. He gives him the Lord Jesus. He speaks to him in Jesus' name. Through a helping hand and his fixed attention, he brings to this man a miracle, and it's an ordinary life changed. And I think as we look at this guy, we can see an exemplar of what it looks like to come to know the Lord Jesus. We can see a picture of what it looks like to receive the gospel. And I think our ordinary lives need Jesus just as much as this guy's did. You may think, as we're in the book of Acts, you may think, surely this is just a list of extraordinary stories. And some amazing things do happen in it. But I'm convinced that, and I hope you will become too, that the beating heart of this book is ordinary lives changed. It was about the gospel going to ordinary people from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In fact, you could even say that this story here this morning is only really recorded because it's because of this healing and the message that accompanies it that Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, we read that the number of believers grew. And in fact, grew from 3,000 to 5,000 because of this day's ministry. Our God has a heart for the lost. He has a heart for ordinary lives changed. And we see that here. We see that exemplified here in this healing of the lame beggar. Now, let's not overlook just how miraculous it is. He was receiving something in Jesus' name that he had never, ever had before. These were legs that hadn't even stood, let alone walked. And now they're restored, made strong, and they're jumping and praising in God's presence. It's a wonderful picture of the gospel. Someone receiving something that they've not had even from birth. It kind of makes sense of why Christians want to talk about coming to know God in terms like this, in terms of resurrection or being born again. But it's also an incredibly hard thing. Let's be clear. What's being asked of this beggar, this lame beggar, is the impossible. He's being asked to rise and walk. That is impossible. God commands the impossible. But with it, the power to get it done. As Luke says in his first gospel, nothing will be impossible with God, Luke 1:37. And so this man is brought into the temple praising God. Now, I mentioned earlier that in our year thus far, we've been mainly in the Old Testament and we've been looking at the book of Isaiah. Today, we're in the New Testament, but I want to just bring us back to the Old Testament and to Isaiah, because what we're looking at here has been prophesied by him. Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 5 and 6 speak of the particular miracle we're looking at now. And this was recorded 700 years prior to Christ. We read this. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Isaiah was prophesying of a restoration of all things, of everything coming together at the end of time. The big surprise for the New Testament reader is that in the miracles, in the resurrection of Christ, we're seeing something from the end of time pop up in the middle of it. We're seeing this, the beginnings of the end. We're seeing the beginnings of fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And here we read that the lame leap like a deer. What a better fulfillment than seeing this lame from birth beggar now jump up and leap and praise the Lord. And I think that, at least in spiritual terms, is what's on offer to us in the Lord Jesus. And then at the very end of time, we'll get that physically too. Well, that's ordinary lives that need Jesus. But there's more to this too. Extraordinary stories start with prayer. We can't fail to notice it. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. These were two men who were prayers. They were on their way to pray. Now, I've recently been reading that since the coronavirus outbreak, one of the most Googled terms has been prayer, and the number of people typing prayer into Google has skyrocketed. And you can really understand why that is. But Peter and John here, they've just been changed, and so they pray. Something that we've not talked about thus far is the giving of the Holy Spirit. That happens at the beginning of Acts. That happens in Acts chapter 2. And the occasion on which that wonderful miracle happens is when the believers are gathered together praying. And the extraordinary story follows. Now, Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple to pray. It's particularly interesting because they weren't setting out to perform this amazing miracle. Michael Green, great evangelist now with the Lord, writes in his commentary on Acts, which he has labeled 30 years that changed the world. He writes that the apostles didn't have need of activism. They had need of prayer. And I think it's those who are praying who are best able to see the opportunities in front of them. Those who pray are those who see the people in front of them. Because that's how this whole story starts. That's how this whole series of events kicks off, with Peter and John noticing, with Peter and John seeing the people in front of them. Are you seeing the people in front of you? Are you praying? Can I suggest that if you're not seeing the opportunities in front of you in this season, then perhaps it's because we're not coming to the Lord in prayer. It strikes me that those who see the opportunities are those who pray. I think we get that here with Peter and John. Now, I'm really grateful that someone spotted the opportunity to talk to me about the Lord Jesus. Were it not for a sunny afternoon in August of 2006, after I'd given some friends a lift to church, and a friend of mine said, "Simon, do you want to come in?" Were it not for someone taking that opportunity, I wouldn't have been introduced to the Lord Jesus. Let's have our eyes open for the opportunities that present themselves in daily life, just like the one we're looking at here for Peter and John. If you're praying, you'll be seeing these opportunities to offer someone a helping hand, to offer someone your fixed attention, and all in the name of Jesus. Well, I said 2 points, but there's never two. There's always three, isn't there? Ordinary lives need Jesus. Extraordinary stories start with prayer, but it all ends in praise. That's where the miracle concludes, with the man on his feet in the house of God, praising him, giving glory to God. And that's where I want to close us here together. I want to just read from Psalm 84, and then I'm going to pray a psalm that's about enjoying being in God's presence. Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we have met together in your name, and we come to you in faith. We come to you, risen Lord, asking for your help, to see the people who are in front of us. Lord, would you guide us? Lord, would you show us who it is that needs a helping hand? Who it is who just needs our undivided attention and gaze? And Lord, we pray that by it, more people would be drawn into your presence, so that more praise and more glory would go to you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.